This afternoon we consider the third petition, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we do so by looking at the reign of Josiah in 2 Chronicles 34. So let us turn to 2 Chronicles together, where we begin our reading in verse 33 to give us some background to the reign of Manasseh and Amon, the kings who came before Josiah. We'll be particularly focusing on verses 14 to the end of chapter 34 in the sermon, and you'll see that in the liturgy sheet. We begin at 2 Chronicles 33, verse 18. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, his prayer to his God, and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord, God of Israel, indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. Also his prayer, and how God received his entreaty, and all his sin and trespass, and the sites where he built high places and set up wooden images and carved images before he was humbled, indeed they are written among the sayings of Hosea. So Manasseh rested with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. For Amon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made and served them. And he did not humble himself before the Lord, as his father Manasseh had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more. Then his servants conspired against him and killed him in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Amon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David, did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, Maaseiah the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. When they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites had kept, who kept the doors had gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin, and which they had brought back to Jerusalem. Then they put it in the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. They gave it to the craftsmen and builders to buy hewn stone and timber for beams and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. Their overseers were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, the sons of the Kohathites, to supervise, others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did the work in any kind of service, and some of the Levites were scribes, overseers, officers, and gatekeepers. Now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "All that was committed to your servants they are doing, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen." Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikim the son of Shaphan, Abdon the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book." So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokhath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they spoke to her to that effect. Then she answered them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants." So they brought back word to the king. Then a king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. So far from the reading of scripture, let us open to our text and read together what we confess concerning the third petition. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, a grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. After the proclamation of God's word, let's sing Psalm 98, verse 1 and 3. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, having previously looked at the address of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven, and the first petition, Hallowed be your name, and the second petition, Your kingdom come, we now come to consider the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we consider this third petition under the following three points. We see that God is the one who reveals his will. We will see that in 2 Chronicles 34, especially verses 14 to 21, when Josiah finds the book of the law. Under this petition, we will also consider our second point, that God declares his will. We see that in verses 22 to 28, when they come to Huldah the prophetess, and she on several occasions there says, thus says the Lord. The Lord declares the curses of covenant disobedience, and he declares the blessing on covenant faithfulness and obedience. And under this petition, we also consider that God is the one who performs his will. He does that on the earth. He does that through us. And we consider that in verses 29 to 33, where we see God using Josiah to lead his people in covenant renewal and worship, where for all the days of his life, they did not depart from following the Lord God. So all the days of the life of Josiah, the people did the will of God. So firstly, we consider that God reveals his will. There is a logical flow in the petitions and in the Lord's Prayer. When you pray the first petition, it is your greatest desire. It is your greatest hope that God's name would be glorified throughout the whole world. And how does this take place? Well, God is glorified when his kingdom goes forward. When the kingdom of light overcomes the kingdom of darkness. When hearts and minds and souls are transferred from the power and tyranny of the devil to the kingdom of his glorious Son, Colossians 1. But how is it that that kingdom grows? How does that kingdom go forward? Well, when his word goes out and people are submitting to his will. And since we need daily food and drink for God's kingdom to go forward, for his word to go out, for us to hear his word and do his will, we therefore pray the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. So we see that there is a logical flow to these petitions in the Lord's Prayer. This petition that we consider, your will be done, is not in isolation of the others. And we see this particularly in 2 Chronicles 34. We see a close relationship between the second petition, your kingdom come, and the third petition, your will be done. When God's word was not known among the people of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, which was God's kingdom, his kingdom of priests, that kingdom was in decline. God, therefore, was not honored and glorified and praised, and the world and the nations around Israel did not come to know the one true God. And this especially happened in the days of Manasseh. That was Josiah's grandfather. And Amon, his father. They both did great wickedness in Israel like no other king before them, and the kingdom of Israel was in decline. God's will was not known, nor was it done. So God was not glorified, his name was not hallowed. However, when God's word was alive, when it was active, when they come to hear his law being also read by the Levites, then God's kingdom grew. God's name was hallowed because God's people knew his will. Consider the days of David. Because he feared the Lord, he humbled himself before him and he knew God's will. He was able to lead the people and he was blessed, and the people of Israel were blessed. And the kingdom of David grew to great heights, heights that no other king after him saw. And that is what we see God doing through the reign of King Josiah. Following the wicked reign of Manasseh and Amon, he found the book of the law in the temple. When he did all the words of the book of the law, as we read at the end of the chapter, the people sought the Lord, and it went well for them, and they were blessed. And Josiah was 8 years old when he began this reformation in Israel. His name, Josiah, means the Lord supports. And the Lord certainly supported Josiah and his people during the reign of Josiah. In fact, in 2 Kings 23, verse 25, we read that there was no king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. He is known for bringing about a great revival and reformation in the days of Israel, especially following the wicked days of Manasseh and Amon. In his eighth reign, the eighth year of his reign, when he was 16 years old, we read in verse 3 that he began to seek the Lord. 16 years old, brothers and sisters, he began to seek the Lord. At the age of 20, he began reformation by purging Jerusalem and Judah of the wooden and carved and molded images. 20 years old, beginning to purge Jerusalem and Judah of their idols. At the age of 26, he started a project to cleanse the temple, repair the temple, which Manasseh had used to worship other gods and sacrifice his children. 26, brothers and sisters. What the Lord accomplished in the days of Josiah before he even turned the age of 30. An incredible work of God in the days of Israel. And this begins in verses 14 when he finds the word of the Lord concerning the law of Moses and the temple is being cleaned. And from these verses we see and can learn something also about God's will on earth. We see that Josiah finds the book of the law. We see that he hears that book of the law as it's read before him, and he responds to the book of the law. He finds it. He hears it. He responds to it. The book of the law was found in a temple, which means that it must have been lost. It may have been lost for a long time. During the days of Hezekiah, we know that there was faithfulness to do God's will, but after him came Manasseh and Amon, who had no respect for God's will or his law. Because the book of the law was lost, there was no opportunity for the people of God to hear it, and so they were inclined to follow their old nature, to serving other gods. And that's what we see happening in the days of Manasseh and Amon. The people of Israel had become like the nations and the Gentiles around them. As we read about in Ephesians 4, they became futile in their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. All that because the word of God was lost to Israel during these days. And that's exactly what human nature is. A mind that is lost, a mind that is darkened with no spiritual understanding, a mind and heart that is resistant to hearing God's word. One that naturally would rather throw it out than embrace it. One that naturally hardens itself against it than being tender-hearted and soft to receive it. We confess this in the Canons of Dort, Head of Doctrine 3, 4, Article 1, having a mind that was adorned with true knowledge of God, but rebelled against God at the instigation of the devil and deprived himself of these gifts, so that he brought upon himself horrible darkness, perverseness of judgment in his mind, wickedness, rebelliousness and stubbornness in his will and heart. Now, when the exiles returned to Jerusalem, who the book of Chronicles was written for, they were to know God's will. They were to remember God's word that they might not repeat the sins of their fathers who came before them. It was a lack of knowledge and living out of God's will that brought upon them that horrible exile and judgment from God and all the calamities. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." God's people needed to come to hear the word. They needed to know God's will for their lives. And Josiah, he hears God's word after it had been lost for a long time. And he responds with humility as he tears his clothes and weeps before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time and a place where God's word is freely accessible. Josiah found the book of the law, which is God's will. He heard it and responded to it. Are you seeking out God's will for your life? Are you reading it? Are you hearing it? Responding to it? In this past week, is that something that we busied ourselves with? Spending time in God's word? We can be tempted so easily to turn to the things that our old nature craves. Perhaps your temptation is scrolling too often on social media rather than scrolling through the pages of Scripture. Or perhaps it's watching too many videos and not enough watching sermons. Perhaps it's computer games. It could be anything that draws you away from the Word of God. Sometimes it can just be the busyness of life as we're going about doing our kingdom work. But beloved, may God's word not be lost to you, although it is so freely accessible. May his word not be sitting under your bed collecting dust, or the least frequently visited app on your phone. If it is, beloved, and you are on a road that is more like forsaking God than finding him and searching him and with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and staying on that road is only going to lead to one place. It's not the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of darkness and misery. And when you hear God's will in the Bible, what do you do, beloved? When you hear it read in church, when you hear it proclaimed, when you do your own devotions, when you hear others speak to you about it, how do you respond? Do you respond like Josiah, who humbled himself, who was tender-hearted toward God's will? Or, as we confess in Lord's Day 49, murmuring, Or the canons of Dort, rebelliousness and stubbornness. Beloved, these are eternally important questions. Because God has revealed his will to us, he has also declared both the curses and the blessings concerning his will. The curses and calamity on the one hand because of disobedience, but on the other hand, a blessing of peace and joy through obedience and faithfulness with him. When we forsake his word, he declares the curses and the calamities. But when we are tender-hearted and humble before him and respond to his word, he declares blessedness. We consider this in our second point, that God declares his will. And we see that especially in verses 22 through to verse 28. Because once Josiah finds the book of the law, he hears it read, he is humbled by it. He comes under strong conviction that God's wrath is going to fall upon his people and himself because they have forsaken the word of the Lord and they have forsaken to do his will by serving the other gods. He quickly goes and responds by inquiring about the will of the Lord concerning his people. He inquires from Huldah, the prophetess. Now, we don't know much about Huldah except what this verse says and two verses from 2 Kings 22, verse 13 and 14. All we know is that she was a prophetess in the land of Israel and she was the wife of Shallum. And the focus here, though, is not on her. The focus and emphasis is on the declaration that she gives in verses 23 to verse 28 concerning the will of God. And we see that there are two declarations. First of all, there is a declaration of calamity and curse in verses 22 to 25. Because of the disobedience of the people have forsaken the Lord, they have burned incense to other gods, and there was calamity and curse that was going to come. And then there is also a second declaration. There is a declaration of blessing and peace upon Josiah in verses 26 through to 28. Josiah's heart was humble and tender before the Lord. Therefore, he'll be gathered to his fathers in peace, and he himself will not come under the curse and calamity of the covenant. And beloved, this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, the Lord said. Not hearing and responding by obedience to God's will brings about certain death. Whereas humbling oneself under his will preserves life. That was the same truth also in Genesis. Disobedience means death, calamity, the curses of the covenant. Obedience, it will preserve your life with the Lord. The same is said in Isaiah 45, verse 7. The Lord here declares to his people that I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. God sends calamity. God sends blessings. Brothers and sisters, we see in these verses from 22 to 28 that there are only two paths and two outcomes. There is the path of stubbornness and pride that brings punishment, or there is the path of repentance and humility that brings the Lord's blessing. And if one were to persist on the path and road of disobedience, you can be sure that calamity will come upon you. By God's grace, he may prolong his days of mercy, as he did in the days of Josiah for the people of Israel. He prolonged his days of mercy until Josiah was taken to his grave in peace. But do not take this grace and goodness for granted. If you are on the path of stubbornness, know for certain that God will slay the wicked and his judgment will not be quenched. Know for certain, as says Peter, the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of the ungodly. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. 2 Peter 3 verse 7. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as Peter continues in the same verses, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? For the godly and the righteous, who with tender hearts humble themselves before God, God says of them that he will dwell with the contrite and lowly of spirit. And they have the blessing of eternal peace and a certainty of being gathered to the grave, but not to a grave that leads to fire, but a doorway that leads to the presence of their Savior. And so, beloved, God has revealed his will to us. And he has declared his will to us because it alone is good for you. That is how it was in the original creation. God saw and it was all good. And Adam and Eve did the will of God on earth as it was done by the angels in heaven. But then they did the will of the devil. And God has given us his word. He's given you his word because he's recreating the heavens and the earth. A earth that will be dissolved by fire and judgment, and a new heavens and a new earth where his presence will dwell, where his will is going to reign, where his kingdom is going to endure. When preparing this sermon, I came across the story of Roland Hill. He was a friend of Charles Spurgeon. Roland Hill was very discouraged about the church that he attended. He always wanted to see more and more the people of God walking with the Lord, doing the will of their Savior, to be spiritually stronger, to be forsaking the world and following the Christ. And Roland Hill was very discouraged, and he said within himself that they are darting after this, they are darting after that, they're following this, they're chasing that, everything except a wholehearted with the whole and mind and soul and will, like Josiah in our passage. Everything except a wholehearted commitment to their Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in his despondency, he went home. He walked into his living room and he looked out of the window. And as he looked out the window, he saw a pig farmer. And the pig farmer had a bunch of pigs following behind him. And he realized that these pigs were following this farmer right to the slaughterhouse. And he thought it to himself, this is exactly what some of those in the church are doing. They're following after this. They're following after that device, straight to the slaughterhouse of condemnation. And he was so amazed. He was so amazed that these pigs could follow this farmer straight to the slaughterhouse. So when the pig farmer came out of the slaughterhouse, without the pigs, of course, Roland Hill asked the farmer, how did you do it? How did you make those pigs follow after you? And the farmer replied to him, didn't you see as I was walking along, I had my hands in my pocket and I was dropping crumbs along the way. The farmer said, those pigs are so foolish, they'll follow me to their death for a little bit of pig food. Dear congregation, may you never, for a little bit of pig food from this world, follow Satan to the slaughterhouse of hell. But do the will of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Partake of the eternal bread from heaven, the eternal life, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And so consider this from 2 Chronicles 20:34. Hear God's word. Humble yourself continually to do his will. Daily confess, repent, and be turning to the Lord. Do not forsake him. Do not pursue the world or your own flesh. It only leads to calamity. Don't burn your incense to other gods. In other words, don't give your time, your energy, your thoughts, and efforts to the things of this world. It only leads to calamity. Don't go fighting. Don't go finding the breadcrumbs of this world that Satan drops right in front of you. But seek the eternal bread from heaven, the Lord Jesus, who eternally satisfies you with doing his will. That is where your satisfaction lies. and humble yourself and continually seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yet because we are so weak, beloved, because like Israel, we do have that inclination to the old nature, that inclination to those breadcrumbs, we must pray. We must pray this petition. Your will be done. Not my will, your will. Help us to deny our own will and without any murmuring, obey your will, for it alone is good. And when we pray this petition, beloved, we will see in our own life and around us that God's will be done, his kingdom will come, he will be glorified and honored and praised, and you will receive his joy and peace that he promises in the covenant. And he will be the one who performs his will in your life when you are praying and seeking him. This brings us to our third point. God performs his will. And we see this in verses 29 to verse 33. Upon hearing the pronouncement from the Lord, King Josiah immediately sets out doing the will of God. The will for the king that God had prescribed for them to lead his people. We see that he does this by doing three things in verses 29 to 33. First, he gathers the people together to now read the book of the law to them so that they will hear it. And it's there that he makes a covenant before the Lord. And in this covenant, he promises to follow the Lord, keep his commandments with all his heart and soul, and to perform the words of the covenant. That's the first thing he did. The second thing he did was that he then also made the people of Israel do God's will. He did that by removing the abominations from the country. And then the consequence of Jeremiah doing those two things was the third thing, that the people of Israel diligently served the Lord their God all the days of Josiah's life. And they did not depart from the word of from following the Lord. Beloved, this is very similar to what we are confessing here in Lord's Day 49. In the second part, that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. That is what Josiah is doing here. He is diligently and faithfully carrying out the duty of his office and calling. A duty in an office can be thought about like having a job. An office is like the title carpenter. The duties involve everything that a carpenter does. Looking at the plans, cutting the timber for the roof, nailing everything together, building the frames and building the roof. We see King Josiah in his office as king, doing what the king of the people that God has appointed is supposed to do. Chosen by God to defend his people, to lead them in covenant righteousness and holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, is also a king. But he's not just a king. He's also a prophet and a priest. He is your king, your prophet, and your priest. The great son of David. Josiah was a son of David. Jesus Christ was the great son of David, the prophet, priest, and king. And we see the Lord doing this all in verses 14 to 33 through the Holy Spirit working through the anointment of Josiah to lead his people. So also, God does this for us in Jesus Christ and now today through his Holy Spirit. In the first point, we see that Josiah found God's word. As a prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ is your teacher. Follow his voice and follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. In the second point, God declares judgment and blessing to Josiah. Judgment and blessing of the covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ as priest, he bears the curses of the covenant to obtain the blessings of the covenant for you. And in this final point, Josiah as king leads the people to do and perform God's will. The Lord Jesus Christ as an eternal king by his word and spirit causes you to live according to God's will. When we pray this petition, the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, as our eternal king, is the one who is performing God's will here on the earth. And he is doing that through his word that he has revealed to you, and he is doing that through his Holy Spirit. He does this in the lives of believers and those who pray this petition. And so, let's respond. Let's respond as Josiah did. Let us hear the will of our chief prophet. Let us commit ourselves to God as priests. And let us perform God's will by fighting the devil and fighting sin. And yes, beloved, it is difficult to do this. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot hear God's word. We cannot commit to it. We cannot perform it without his help. And yet we have a king who does help us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns forever. So pray this petition. Ask him for help in prayer. In verse 33, we read that the people did not depart from following the Lord all the days of Josiah. As soon as Josiah died, brothers and sisters, the people of Israel returned back to moral decay. It was a superficial reformation and revival in Israel. But we have a king who remains forever. You have a king who sits in the heavens forever, who now by his Spirit and through the gift of prayer and his word that he has given to you, he will ensure that you do not fall. He will ensure that you do not slip. Prayer, his word, and the Holy Spirit. God will perform his will through you. His kingdom will come. His name will receive glory and praise forever. Amen.